I'm looking forward to the day. We believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that He could return at any day, and He could return today. And what a blessing. I've enjoyed the quartet. I'm looking forward to this afternoon, them singing for us. The video did a very good job of rehearsing our history, and I'm so looking forward to the new activity center and the continuation of our campus development. And God's been so good to us. Amen. But more important than buildings, it's been the people. And a blessing to see so many who have been faithful throughout the years. And I think Brother, whatever his name is, got it right. Brother Lassiter, it's faithfulness. And God's blessed that over the years. But it's not just faithfulness of the members. It's more faithfulness to the Great Commission. That we have done our very utmost to keep the Great Commission in the forefront. To keep the main thing, and that is to win people to Jesus Christ. To disciple them, to baptize them. And I believe as long as we keep the purpose where it should be, that God will continue to bless. And I believe that with all my heart. God's blessed us because we've kept the main thing. That we're not just a church by name. And then really we're a social club. A lot of churches are that way. But we are a church. And the church's purpose is to win people to Jesus, baptize them, and disciple them. And we're thankful that we've kept that in the forefront. All right, turn again to Ephesians chapter 2. Just a topical message this morning. Verse 20. Brother Johnson read verse 19. We'll start there this morning. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I'm glad we are the family of God. And are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom we all, the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation, a home of God through the Spirit. Can I remind you this morning that we are, first off, we're a church family, but we are a building of God, fitly framed together. One of our purposes this morning is to come and to worship Him. And as we come and we worship Him, each one of you, the Bible refers to us as living stones. So each Christian this morning is a living stone, building up a spiritual house, right? Because God says He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So this building has no spiritual significance in and of itself, right? Some churches put so much emphasis on the building, but the building is not the church. The people are the church. And Paul goes on to say in another scripture, he says that ye are living stones. And every member of Heritage Baptist Church is a stone to build up a spiritual house. And that's why it's important that you be at every service. Because you're helping in that building up that spiritual house. And as we build up, okay, so I'm a stone. My wife's a stone. Brother Clark down here is a stone. And each stone goes into place. Amen. And we are making a spiritual house, a home for the Lord. By the way, our goal on a Sunday morning is to make the Lord feel comfortable. To do everything we can to glorify Him and please Him in order that He might show up. What the Bible says, where two or more are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Everybody know the verse? If you don't, I just quoted it. We know the Bible makes it clear. We have a promise that when we meet, God is there. But we don't have a promise of His evidence. In other words, He can be here and not make Himself evident. Yeah. I want more than just His presence. I want more than just Him knowing that He's here. And I'm thankful for that promise. But I want Him to make Himself evident. I want Him to show up in a way and to see fruit for our labor, to see souls saved, to see lives radically changed. Radically changed. By the way, God is still in the saving business. And this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, He wants to see you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is calling you this morning, and God is wooing you this morning. He wants you to come and accept His Son as your personal Savior. By the way, that's the only way to escape hell and have a home in heaven. It's the only way to have your sins forgiven. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I beg you this morning to take this opportunity The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. To come here in just a moment. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still have an invitation. And we're going to invite you here in just a moment to come to the front while we sing and let someone show you from the Bible how you can have everlasting life today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait from a week from now. You can get saved today. God is in this life-saving business, but He's also in the life-changing business. And can I remind you, church, that as we meet together today, the Lord is here. We want Him to make Himself evident by the fruit that is displayed, if you would, by souls being saved, but lives being changed. A lot's happened this week. In the last couple of weeks, we, as I said this morning, just feel that our church family is being maybe impacted in a greater way than normal. By that, I mean the devil's getting his foot in. And this is not problems in the church. It's problems with families having just all sorts of issues. I think about the Watsons this morning. Amen. And my heart cries out. I was thinking about them last night as I went to bed. And I'm praying for them. You know, find out she has colon cancer. Find out she has stage 4 colon cancer. Just lost his job. I mean, we need to pray for our family. Amen. And there's other things going on, other families who are hurting. Can I tell you that God is in the life-changing business? And if you're here this morning and you're a saved, born-again believer, God is here this morning and He wants to change your life. By the way, He'll change your life at salvation, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm glad that as a saved, born-again believer that He can reach into my life and change my life. That He can heal cancer. Right. He still heals the sick. Amen. Amen. Not in some showy television, you know, televangelistic way, you know, knocking somebody over in the head, but He does heal. In those private moments there in the hospital, He reaches down to some and He heals them. And we're praying that God would see fit to do that here in our church family. And then for the marriages that are broken, God is still in the life-changing business. And God will reach down into your marriage and He'll heal your marriage. And God will take one spouse and He'll work on that spouse's heart. And He'll take the other spouse and work on that spouse's heart. And He'll see a man and a wife come back together and have restoration and have that marriage that God intended them for them to have. Can I remind you that life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Amen. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed. Yeah. Teenage kids were not meant to be endured. Yeah. They were meant to be enjoyed. Amen. Jesus Christ came to give us life, and I'm thankful for salvation, but He came to give us life more abundant. And as a Christian, you should be living, for the most part, an abundant life. I always like to clarify because there are valleys, right? But you should be living that abundant life. And people should see that in you. Amen. And again, I'm a kid when I talk about we have some good teenagers in our church. Right. I brag on you all the time. Other families visit our church and they say, hey, I've got a teenager. And what do you have to offer for the my teenager? And I say, we have the best youth department in the world. Amen. We have some godly teenagers who are trying to live right, trying to do right. Amen. A great youth pastor. Amen. And it's phenomenal to see how God has worked in these young people's lives. And our college career the same way. I recently had someone ask about the college career department. I said, we have some good, godly young people who are trying to live right. And, you know, news out there all over the nation, you know, young people leaving the church. I'm thankful we have some that are not, that are staying by the stuff. And we have members here. I think about the charter members this morning coming up, taking the picture. Staying by the stuff, staying faithful. By the way, Heritage Baptist Church, it's not always been rosy and sunny days. You say, preacher, it looks like it. Look at all the stuff. No, it hasn't always been sunshiny and rosy days. Tim Abrams was very kind. Did y'all see that? Some of you have been around a while. He was talking about when that first building was going up. Man, it was tough. Our church for about 3 or 4 years there just really went through a valley. But God used that valley in my life and in some of the church members' lives to grow us and to accomplish great things for Him. We are intended. God has intended for us to have an abundant life. Do you have an abundant life? We are fitly framed together. We are the body of Christ. Heritage Baptist Church is the body of Christ. And this morning, I want you to be encouraged this morning to know that you're a vital part of that body. And I pray for you. And I seek the Lord's face for you. And I know our church family does as a group. Let us remain faithful to Him. Let us continue to lift up the banner of Jesus Christ as a body of believers. Let us never leave off the main thing, that Haslett needs the Lord, right? The state of Texas needs the Lord. And we spend a lot of resources to do it. We have a fall festival every year in October. And God, we see benefits from it all the time. Amen. And I always brag on our church. We'll spend $12,000 or $13,000, as much as $15,000 on that fall fest. And we make about $1,500. But we're not to be takers. We're to be givers. Amen. And we was even talking about the concert last night. I said, we're not going to do that ticket charging anymore. Not going to do it anymore. We're not here to I felt uncomfortable about it. Nobody else did? Good. The pastor did. I did. Let's take a love offering. I'm just not going to do that no more. We're not here to be takers. We're here to be givers. And that's with our own congregation and with the community. Amen. We want to be a blessing. We want to continue to make that part of our MO. Is that all right, everybody? Everybody good?
Yeah.
We want to be givers, not takers. Amen? God's been so good to us. On our fifth year anniversary, I preached on the fundamentals of the faith. On our 10th year anniversary, I preached a message that I preached, the very first message I ever preached at Heritage, I preached it on the 10th anniversary word for word. Y'all remember that? Some of you do. I did. I did so for a reason. I wanted to make sure the church understood that we hadn't changed any.
Amen.
And what we preached on the very first Sunday, the Heritage beginning, is still being preached. And I'm thankful for the church that allows the pastor to do that. Nobody's come to me and dictated and said, you know, preacher, you can't preach on the blood of Jesus anymore. A lot of churches have taken blood out of their hymn books and out of place. By the way, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm glad I have a church body that allows me to stand up and preach what the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. That we stand up and preach in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And there are times in which a pastor should get up and reprove and rebuke. In fact, by definition, if a pastor's not doing it, he's not preaching. Because that's what Paul told young Timothy. Get up and preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And of course, you've got to have the time for exhortation. To get up and encourage people, encourage the congregation. And I hope we've tried over the years to have a balance of that. But let us never leave off, or let us never divert from the main thing. Winning people to Jesus, baptizing them and disciple them, and preaching Jesus from the pulpit. And keeping the pulpit hot, right? And preaching Jesus. Let's all stand. We have verse invitation, hymn 167. This morning, the main thing this morning is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't, we encourage you to step out of your chair. Take courage and step out of your chair and come forward. An adult here will show you from the Bible how you can have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. But he went to the cross and there he died for me. He died in my place. He took the wrath of God for me. They put him in a tomb for 3 days. But on the third day, he arose from the dead. My salvation is found in believing and trusting in him. His life, his death, and his resurrection. Not in church membership, not in baptism, not in being a good person, but my hope is in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Has there been a time in your life where you placed your hope in Jesus? And Christian, this morning, especially our church members, church family, let's remember that we are a body fitly framed together, fulfilling the purpose in which God intended for us, and that is to win the lost, baptize them, and disciple them. And let us have another 15 years of keeping the main thing the main thing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had to come and hear the word of God. And I pray this morning you would help us to continue to remain faithful for another 15 years. I pray that you'd be with those here this morning who may not know you as personal Savior. I pray that God, that you would give them the courage to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. Lord, that they would do so before it's eternally too late. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing,